Hello, Robbie. I'm George from Ireland. Well, thanks for coming back to my channel. And today I'm doing a happy 75th birthday to the European Convention on Human Rights because it was signed on the 4th of November 1950, took force almost 3 years later. I've been drawing up since 1948. It's a much misunderstood document and it emanates from the Council of Europe, which is not the European Union, is a very common misconception. The Council of Europe includes, I think, 43 member states now, at its maximum 45. It included every country in Europe at its widest extent, from Iceland to Azerbaijan. And the only two countries which are not in it now are Belarus and Russia. Methinks they withdrew. So after the horrors of the Second World War, it decided to write such a document. But remember, there was the Soviet Union, which had carried out the very same crimes, well, not quite such a scale, in the 1920s and the 1930s, man-made famines in Ukraine, the Holodomor, and so forth. So brought back slavery, enslaving millions of political prisoners, sometimes on a frankly, on an openly racist basis, into the 90s because they were Tatars or Chechens or whatever, and so on. So absolutely horrific crimes. It was the Soviet Union which pioneered murder by gas chamber. Now, which is none of which is to diminish or somehow excuse the many monstrous atrocities of the Third Reich. The totalitarianisms, as Churchill said, were opposite, though similar, to try and make sure this would never, if never, take place. But so there was the noble aims. Methinks it was William Blake who said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So unfortunately, there have been so many perversions of the ECHR since then. So the member states drew up this anyway, and it consists of lots of articles. Okay, and so lawyers from the United Kingdom drew this up. I'm not sure if any of our lawyers from the Republic of Ireland came up with it as well, but much of the content is uncontentious. You would have found in Irish law and English law for centuries or at least decades prior to this, there's this right to have rights and so forth. To some extent, it emanates from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 1948, proclaimed by the United Nations. And what is just staggering about this is frank totalitarian states, absolute monarchies, would sign this, saying no one should be held in slavery or servitude, despite the fact that Saudi Arabia openly permitted slavery, explicitly in its law, until 1962, with markets and human slaves, and so on. And we know that in many Middle Eastern countries, semi-slavery still exists, but won't go into that. So the most monstrously sadistic regimes to this day, like North Korea, signed up to these human rights instruments. And obviously, Russia's going back towards Stalinism. So there's Article 2, the right to life. Article 3, a prohibition of torture. Article 4, which is the prohibition of servitude. Articles 5, right to liberty and security of person, as in not to be kidnapped or, you know, sent to jail without good reason, blah, blah, blah. You know, to be go around safely. So the state not to be violent to you unless absolutely necessary. The right to a fair trial. The right, the rule against retroactivity, and you'll find that that's actually the very beginning of the Napoleonic Code, for example. You know, nullum crimen, nulla pena sine lege, right to privacy for your correspondence, but obviously sometimes the state is allowed to spy on you and blah blah blah. And then we've got the right to of conscience and religion, the right to freedom of expression, freedom of association, marriage, effective remedy, blah blah blah, right to not be discriminated against, and so it goes on. And various protocols touching property and so on. Now, remember, when this was drawn up, a lot of European countries were part of the nascent Warsaw Pact, were really Soviet satellites. So they were communist one-party states, which had taken away people's right to property, right to religion, free expression, and blah, 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 under the Soviet model. Nevertheless, they signed this, despite being so openly in abeyance. The doublethink is staggering. And you should get this doublethink again, particularly by liberals and leftists to this day. Okay, so, and they're in a democratic society, it's always assumed that in a democratic society, yes, the government is allowed to monitor people's emails, phone calls, letters sometimes. And yes, they can search your house with good reason with an arrest warrant and stuff like that. Okay, the right to life doesn't mean that death is a crime. We can't outlaw natural processes. Now, when we had the right to life, almost all the signatories had and used the death penalty. Germany had abolished in its basic law, Das Todesstrafung ist what I forgot the word for abolished. The death penalty is abolished. It's four words in German, the shortest article in the German constitution. That's it. No ifs, no buts, no exceptions. And Denmark, Sweden and so on hadn't used it for a long time beforehand. The Netherlands executed some people just after the Second World War, but never again. So that was held, the death penalty was said to be compatible with the right to life until the 90s, until eventually the European Union outlawed that. I mean, all states but Belarus have not used the death penalty for decades, and Russia's had a moratorium on it since 1995, and so forth. So much of this is really praiseworthy. But back then, the right to life was real in law, in that almost all the member states would have said, people have the right to life, old people and young people. And yes, that includes very youngest. That includes girls. That includes boys who are in utero. They're alive. That's it. Now, if there's no other way to save a mother's life, these children might be killed. And it's a horrific, heartbreaking thing to do. I don't know how anyone brings himself, herself to do that. But anyway, that is allowed. That was always allowed. I've never heard of a case of a doctor anywhere who's been charged with any crime for performing an abortion on a child because there was any way to save the mother's life. Never heard of someone being charged, let alone the case going to trial, let alone anyone being convicted, anyone in the world. Maybe I'm wrong. If there are cases, I would suspect it's very, very few. And we shouldn't allow these vanishingly rare cases to change the generality. Unfortunately, it's gone the other way. Now, I mean, I don't mind the capital punishment going away. I'm glad that's been binned. But what's been the war on children has begun, and somehow people aren't people, and somehow being alive isn't alive. And that's why European countries have moved towards genocide. Now, it's true that all European Union member countries are part of the Council of Europe. Now, then there's the European Council, which is the meetings of the heads of states of all EU countries, which so the Council of Europe and the European Council are not the same thing. Now, the European Union has it's the Court of Justice of the European Union, which sits at Luxembourg. Now, the court that adjudicates the European Convention of Human Rights sits at Strasbourg, which confusingly is where the European Parliament meets half the time. The European Parliament goes back and forth, Brussels, Strasbourg, Brussels, Strasbourg, Brussels, Strasbourg, each month. But the European Court of Human Rights is not a European Union court. There's one court from each of the signatory states, I think 43 now, and so on. So the ECHR, as part of the one of the EU treaties in 1998, had to be incorporated into the domestic law of all the member states, and they've all done so. Okay, so that Human Rights Act 1998 in the United Kingdom meant that it took effect in the year 2000. So rights arising from the ECHR can be asserted in courts within the United Kingdom. Oh, they don't need to exhaust domestic remedies before going to the ECHR. Cases are occasionally referred to the European Court of Human Rights by the UK. And so the European United Kingdom has left the European Union. It hasn't left the Council of Europe. The European Convention of Human Rights is still part of UK domestic law, which it doesn't need to be. The UK was a signatory to the ECHR in the year 1950. It didn't actually take effect in British law till 50 years later. And it's not the case that it was sort of genocidal or tyrannical beforehand. It's preposterous. And I know Irish nationalists in Northern Ireland say, oh, well, end of the troubles because of this. Yeah, well, the troubles ended. This is hadn't been made part of domestic UK law, so don't be ridiculous. If it was so important, why the Republic of Ireland didn't very long time ago? Now, there's a margin of appreciation to a lot of these, as in that there can be some variety, about a fair trial. Do you have to have juries or not? So member states can decide for themselves what to do about this. But it's been abused in many ways. We can't deport people because, well, I like it in this country. I wouldn't like the food, or I've got a cat, or something like that. And that's what gives it a bad name, makes it absolutely preposterous. And countries can simply disregard the rulings of the European Court of Human Rights. Turkey, Russia, had hundreds of judgments against them and simply didn't comply. There is no enforcement mechanism. The country can't be arrested. It can't be fined. Is ordered to release someone from prison, to give someone a new trial, to return some property, pay compensation, to stop torturing. It just doesn't do it. That's it. And they get away with it. Is Western European countries, particularly the United Kingdom, which does this. I mean, very controversially, when the British Army shot dead some terrorists in Gibraltar who were planning to set up a bomb and murder dozens of civilians, they read the terrorist right to life had been deprived of them. Now, it'd be better if you could apprehend these people. Dead men tell no tales, and under questioning, they would lead you to more criminals, But anyway, they didn't do that. And the United Kingdom was ordered to pay compensation, and it did. So, but it's sickening. Obviously, the court is an unjust court and makes many unjust rulings. So we need to decanonize judges. You know, they are not divine. Or recognize their fallibility. They've got prejudices. They've got political opinions, and so on. They're subject to all the same psychological and emotional pressures as everybody else. It's preposterous to think they're somehow above it, that they can loftily avoid mere human frailty. That is preposterous. Now, obviously, there's going to be a loser in each case. It doesn't mean there's no justice if there's a case that goes against you. Right, so what do you think of the ECHR? So it really is hilarious to think the United Kingdom would be going to the dark night of the soul if it were to, delete this out of domestic British law, repeal the Human Rights Act 1998. And I would love to see all those leftards seeking asylum in Azerbaijan or some wonderfully free country which has the ECHR as part of the domestic law. It shows you what a farce it is. I mean, you can't have it both ways, because either it guarantees human rights, in which case there were never any human rights problem in Russia under Putin when it's part of the domestic law, or it doesn't, in which case what doesn't matter if we don't get rid of it. France had it as part of their law right from 1950. It didn't prevent them committing many large-scale atrocities in Algeria, which is part of the metropolitan French state at the time, using torture on an absolutely industrial scale. So it's just risible. Toodaloo.